Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Let's have a look at some of the transfer day headlines. This is what we've got going on. So Everton confident of signing Mangala, and presumably they pay all his wages. So he's at Man City. If he signed for £32 million for them, his wages must be £150,000, £180,000 a week.
You would guess.
But you sort of think, well, that's not a bad deal if it's going to serve a purpose between now and
Well, if it's
May.
On loan till the end of the season, what are we talking now, 10 weeks, 12 weeks? So in the region of him just wages alone, maybe £2 million, £3 million, if it goes towards maintaining the status or securing the status. I don't think at the moment we're in trouble. But a couple of wrong results could just create a bit of fear. Anyway, you know, if they get him in and he does well, or even if he just becomes part of a squad and we survive, then it's money well spent.
Are you slightly suspicious about how good he is, considering he arrived at Manchester City, and I don't think I've ever seen a positive headline about him.
And I have not watched him very often, but it's never great sometimes when players are coming out on loan. You're always going to get players, and we're sending our weaker players out, you would say. And so are other teams that you're taking players off loan. That doesn't mean to say they're bad players. Wrong place, wrong time, or right place, wrong time. So it could be a case of that. We've done well with loans in the past, obviously Lukaku and Gareth Barry as well was a loan, both at the same time. So there's no reason to think it couldn't go well. And obviously the pedigree, you know, you look at the pedigree that he was signed for £32 million. At one stage, he was Man City's exciting new signing. So you'd just hopefully that's the case and he comes in and does well. But, you know, Everton have struggled. You know, we can't, obviously the whole season has been mostly down, and it's been a bit of an up and down, a couple of highlights. But certainly we've got to look to address what's wrong and how they're going to go about that. I think it's a big case of how we set up as opposed to just the personnel again. But obviously times does not really conducive for that. And I think there's a bit of, not panic stations, but certainly an urgency to have players at the disposal of the manager who can give options or who can cover players when they're out of form or injured. And that's what we need going into this. It does create a panic anywhere. Every club, this transfer window, you know, it's going to cause panic. Changing tack slightly or looking at a different situation, which is Liverpool, and the interesting scenario where we talked last week of Liverpool needing a player to come in and replace, not replace Coutinho, but certainly fill a gap that's been left in the squad. And we're a week further on and they've let another forward player go, which is astounding. Unless Liverpool have got something in the pipeline today, I'm astounded that they're not going to bring a forward player in.
I was listening to Jurgen Klopp after the game last night, and he vaguely hinted that there maybe was something on the horizon. He didn't mention what part of the pitch, but the way he was talking slightly suggested that he thought maybe Liverpool could bring someone in today.
For them to realistically keep on battling on the fronts that they're doing, I mean,
they need another body, don't they?
100% needs to be a good one.
And weirdly, someone in the press conference after the game asked Jurgen Klopp, "Are you going to let Danny Ings go out on loan?" And I was thinking, well, Liverpool haven't got enough depth to let Danny Ings go out on loan. And he was absolutely steadfast in saying, "I'd have to be unconscious to let Danny Ings leave the football club."
Well, I mean, Danny Ings at this moment in time, he sort of falls into the category a bit like Sandro and David Klaassen, and he's not really adding anything. I mean, he's been injured and all that, so I'm not suggesting he won't, but they need someone. I mean, the calibre of Daniel Sturridge, who's just gone out on loan, you know, to have someone. I know he hasn't played a lot this season, but we're running into a critical part of the season, and Liverpool are fighting on fronts for titles that they you know, they're ambitious, and yet they've let someone of that pedigree go who would have, you know, say Salah would have picked up a little knock last night, or Firmino runs out of form, you throw Daniel Sturridge on, or you're playing from the stars and you go, we've got some strength and depth. What's going on? That's a big question mark for me.
He must have great belief in his squad. You mentioned Gareth Barry before.
Yeah.
And he's someone who's defying age.
He looks brilliant
for West Brom at the weekend. And he looked trim
I've talked about Gareth Barry in this situation a few times this season. I mean, Everton
shouldn't have let him go.
Well,
another season in him,
you know,
there was.
What? Hindsight is 20/20, easy. But it's sort of underlines how the game's gone. You know, there is a situation now where if you are in a certain part of the midfield and you are not expected now, and you don't really need to break beyond the forwards or to track back all that much, you can actually find yourself at that age in life being... And I think James Milner's a little bit different in the position of it, but he's another one who's proven that the game now is played very, very centrally, or the middle third of the pitch, and you're only ever a couple of yards away from your opposite number. You don't need to... You're not running beyond you. The game's changed differently, dramatically, from a midfield perspective. The mileage is done differently. I don't know if it's as much accumulative as it is, but definitely not as much sprint work. No box-to-box anymore. That's changed. And Gareth Barry's benefiting from that.
Yeah, Milner, brilliant last night. But possibly man of the match in that game against Huddersfield. Gareth Barry could actually become the oldest person in the world at this rate. He might pass 144, given how we're seeing him regress in terms of his fitness and his looks.
Should I say it? Right. He'd probably still get a game for Everton. Should I say that?
Riyad Mahrez has handed in an official transfer request at Leicester. Well, he's left it late, hasn't he? Manchester City have made a third bid, thought to be £55 million. It's a story that dominates all the back pages today. The transfer, if successful, will put Mahrez second among City's most expensive purchases behind Laporte, who signed yesterday. It's interesting that Manchester City have an injury to Sane and think, right, well, we'll replace that with £55 million. We'll just go and buy one of the league's best players.
That is the power of that money on another level. I think Guardiola was kind of trying to hint of them not being able to compete with Man United in signing Alexis Sanchez. You know, and then to turn around and... on a whim almost, an offer sort of 55, 60 million because one of your other players has become injured. It's just, I think Guardiola needs a reality check, and the level of spending that they're dealing with is unbelievable. Why they couldn't secure Alexis Sanchez is up to them. It was down to possibly the fact that they didn't want to invest it all in one player like that, but I don't know why. But they maybe should have done it.
Right, Aubameyang, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, arrives at Arsenal for talks, but nothing is concluded yet because there's this bizarre transfer going on. It would require Olivier Giroud moving to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Chelsea then saying, OK, well, we've got another striker in, so we'll let Batshuayi go to Borussia Dortmund. And then Dortmund saying, well, that's all right, we've got a striker in now, so we'll let Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang
So that's all,
Arsenal.
It's all sorted. It's all
well,
done.
Well, in theory, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, the merry-go-round. Yeah, it's all there. And a lot of money changing hands again for a player.
An awful lot of money. Mm. I wonder what the agents are picking up out of all this. It seems like there's a lot of money being spent on transfer deadline day, or at least the 2 days before it. Well, it's not always the case in January.
Well, I think what's happened is there's been big players or... big pieces of the jigsaw have moved, haven't they? You know, Alexis Sanchez was the start on that scenario. You've got this Aubameyang, which, you know, when players like that move, there becomes a need then for the club that they're departing to get replacements. And Arsenal then, the necessity for Arsenal to get Aubameyang, and then the funding there as well to back it up. So that kicks all that off. Obviously, Giroud is then surplus to requirements. Chelsea are looking for this target man. It's actually worked quite well. It's actually a lot of things have kind of nicely fallen into place in terms of what clubs wanted.
Just to go back to City's purchase of Laporte, I've got a list here of the 10 most expensive defenders. Virgil van Dijk, £75 million. Laporte, £57 million. Kyle Walker, £54 million. Benjamin Mendy, £52 million. So three of those have been bought by Manchester City. David Luiz, £50 million. John Stones, £47 million. So four of the top six have been bought by Manchester City for £47 million or above. Shokran Mustafi, £35 million. Bonucci to AC Milan, £35 million. David Luiz again in the list, £34 million when he went to Chelsea. And Rudiger to Chelsea, £34 million. So Manchester City have got five of those top 10 most expensive defenders in the world ever. Mm-hmm. You'd think they'd be great in defence, wouldn't you, by now?
Well, I suppose where City benefits or where they do well defensively is they've always got the ball or they don't always seem to be attacking. There's less need for them to defend. So for some reason, he keeps identifying players who may or may... I mean, you're strengthening the squad. You're giving yourself options. You know, I think you'll start to see now you've got the Mangala leaving or potentially leaving this window. You know, who would it be next? I mean, Company's coming to the end, I suppose, so... the end of it. I mean, I'm not writing him off completely, but he has his injury problems too. You know, maybe in a year or two, we're looking at Stones going. and them get another players in.
Right, let's just quickly talk on a couple of other things. We'll get to tonight's game in just a second. First, a little bit of sad news. Paul Alcock, the former Premier League referee, has died at the age of 64 after a long illness with cancer. Now, you'll probably remember Alcock because he was the official who was in the spotlight when Paolo Di Canio pushed him over.
Oh, right.
Remember when he was shown a red card while playing for Sheffield Wednesday against Arsenal in 1998? Mr. Alcock refereed 94 Premier League matches. And Mike Riley, the professional game match official's managing director, has paid tribute to him. We knew for some time that he'd been really ill. Paul enjoyed a distinguished career as a ref and was hugely respected. So thoughts to him and his family. But that moment where Di Canio pushes him, it's one of those the that delayed, everyone remembers. The delayed response.
Delayed fall, yeah. Was funny in there. Yeah, it was funny at the time, but obviously sad news to hear of him passing. And obviously he'll have had some great memories. That not being one, I suppose.
Not for him, but
he laughed at it afterwards.
He's got to, hasn't he? That was
a bit of notoriety.
Right, tonight's game, Everton against Leicester.
Yeah.
You confident?
Not really. I mean, when I say not really, I mean, Leicester are a really good side. I think we know that. And we were certainly caught off guard the season they won the league. We felt a little bit, perhaps, that order was restored last season when they didn't do so well. But obviously the pressures of Europe were there for everyone to see and what it does to a team. And this season, you know, now that you're a bona fide, good quality Premier League side with a lot of punch in attack, a lot of pace in attack, certainly something that Everton will be cautious of. And it will be a tough game. Hopefully, you know, we get
Seamus Coleman starts. So?
Oh, I don't know.
No?
Maybe I don't know. I mean, he may do, but that's all. I think that's something we won't know. You know, behind closed doors, how fit is he? He made his comeback, I think, on the weekend or the last Friday, was it? So, you know, that would be a lift for the crowd, a bit of pace and defence. So, hopefully, that'd be good. But I don't know whether he's fit enough.
Quite lovely as always. Thank you very much.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.